Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Gary Bald, Executive Assistant Director for the National Security Branch. Also joining us in our conversation is Richard Scott. Gary, how do you envision the FBI in the next 5 to 10 years?
I think in the next 5 to 10 years, we'll become much more technologically capable than we were in the past. As we upgrade our technology, we're developing internal and external systems that I think will support future sharing initiatives. Some of these include the National Incident Data Exchange with law enforcement officers, the regional data exchange of unclassified raw data. We are developing and close to piloting a national terrorism threat database with our state and local partners. We have a terrorist watch list now that is an automated one-way interface, or we need to develop the one-way interface. We have a terrorism watch list now that is almost a two-way process. But we also need to develop an FBI system that links all of our databases and makes them available, makes public source databases available on everybody's desktop. So there's a number of complicated technology solutions that we have in the works, and I'm optimistic we'll deliver fairly shortly. But as we look to the future, I think we are going to be looking to government-wide improvements in our access to reliable foreign travel records, for example, that permit us to know what foreign nationals are in the United States at any given time. So if we can get the systems right, I think we'll be much more effective down the road. I also see us in the future becoming more of a global organization, of course, in partnership with the CIA and Department of State. But this will produce closer ties for us with our important international partners through an increase in the number of our legal attaché offices around the world. And I think that's important because in the future we're going to continue to need to take the fight to the terrorists wherever they are. We can't afford to wait here for them to arrive.
Gary, we spent a fair amount of time talking about the partnerships between governmental organizations and the FBI. But what role will the business community and industry play with the FBI, and how will this partnership evolve over the next 5 to 10 years?
We enjoy really close relationships with the private sector in all of our programs. They're potential targets of terrorists and hostile intelligence services, and so we need to keep a close relationship with them. Whether we're talking about raising awareness or providing them information or, in fact, requesting information, businesses and industries have an important role to play in national security for our country. Some examples of our outreach initiatives include our InfraGuard, which is a computer intrusion, a working group that we have with the business community. We have an agro-terrorism working group, which we refer to as AgGuard, which is addressing, as the name implies, agricultural terrorism concerns. We have a business alliance that we've developed in the counterintelligence arena, as well as a National Security Higher Education Advisory Board, both of which help us in our counterintelligence activities. So I'd say, in short, as our enemies look for new ways to target us, the private sector is going to need to become increasingly engaged with us.
Gary, in the past, we've talked with our guests about the pending retirement wave in government and what type of impact it will have on their operations. What are you seeing at the FBI?
We're very fortunate in that we have a very low attrition rate. For example, about 90% of our special agents that we hire stay on until retirement, and most stay beyond the minimum retirement age. But a career in the FBI it's very rewarding. It's equally demanding. And after many years of being called on or on call 24 hours a day and 7 days a week and working from very early in the morning to very late at night on stressful issues which affect the quality of life of our neighbors, you never really have your own time, and it takes a toll on you over the years. So it's a challenge to keep folks much beyond when they're eligible to retire. But fortunately, the employees that we hire are as good as any that you'll find in any walk of life, and they're honest, dedicated citizens who care about and believe in their mission. And they answer the bell, frankly, whenever it rings. They generally don't complain and produce tremendous work. So I think the future for us looks very bright. But there does come a time for each of us to leave government service, and the FBI is no different than other government agencies in that regard. And, you know, we're also experiencing retirements of the baby boomers at an increasing rate as a result of the hiring wave that took place several decades ago. We have about 600 agent retirements a year out of, 12,000-plus positions. So we're constantly needing to refresh our ranks. But fortunately, in the FBI, we're usually replaced without any decrease in capability. And with turnover, you know, comes new ideas and new initiatives and a process that helps us ensure that we continue to move forward in what we do.
Thanks. That's a great lead into the next question. How are you recruiting, hiring, and training your employees, and how are you protecting the FBI from compromise of its employees, such as in the case of Robert Hansen?
Well, we're fortunate to attract a very strong pool of applicants. I think last year alone we had almost 29,000 people apply to be special agents, for example, and about 120,000 applied to be analysts for the FBI. So this permits us to be very selective in who we hire. Last year we hired a total of 616 special agents, about 2% of our pool, and about 680 analysts, which is, you know, even less than 1% of our pool. So we don't have any shortage of people that are interested in working for the FBI. But from time to time, we change certain aspects of our recruiting efforts to adjust the skill set of our pool. Our current requirements call for agent applicants to be between the ages of 23 and 37, have a college degree. And our typical new agent hire is in their late 20s, often holds an advanced degree, and has worked for a period of time in another career that's enhanced their experience and attractiveness to us. Our new analysts are equally bright and also hold advanced degrees. I think I may have mentioned about 40% of our college-educated analysts that we're bringing on board hold advanced degrees. So, again, we're bringing some real high-quality people into the organization. Our analysts train side-by-side with our new agents. They learn advanced skills that have, frankly, really accelerated our analytic capabilities in the organization. I think our training division does a great job of teaching our new employees the basics of the job, and they're working with us to define our national security training needs. And I expect in the short run to greatly expand the training opportunities for our employees over their careers. I think a strength of our organization is in our workforce, and I'd frankly stack them up against any other group in any other profession. But, you know, even though we do a great job of attracting and bringing high-quality people into the organization, like any agency, from time to time, our employees make mistakes, and we've got to remain alert to the potential that aggressive foreign services could successfully turn an employee into a spy. And we have a number of classified ways that we're addressing this problem that I think give me a level of confidence that that this isn't going to be a problem for us as we go down the road.
What other significant challenges will the counterterrorism and counterintelligence divisions face in the future, and how will you respond to them?
In the future, I think we're going to see subnational and perhaps non-governmental entities playing an increasing role in world affairs. I think they'll use what we refer to as asymmetric approaches that will present new challenges and threats to the United States and require new approaches to deal with them. As I mentioned earlier, the Internet is a wonderful tool, but it's produced some real challenging byproducts for us. And in the past, those that would harm us were relatively isolated from each other and unable to easily identify folks of a like mind. But with the anonymity of the Internet, like-minded persons are able to meet and congregate. They join forces spiritually or literally, and they form a formidable adversary for us and one that's very hard to detect. It's difficult to determine where their radical talk ends and where radical planning begins, and it's particularly hard for us as an investigative agency to deal with those with United States citizens that may be exercising their free speech rights. It's a huge challenge for us. But in the future, I think our national security may ultimately depend on the nimbleness in which we can adjust our laws before they limit our national security efforts, and the extent to which society accepts greater government access to key information that may help us in our national security mission.
Gary, you've obviously enjoyed a very long career in public service. What advice can you give to a person who is interested in a career in public service, especially in law enforcement?
Well, as an agency, as we've talked about, both intelligence and law enforcement missions, we attract a wide range of viable applicants. And I would suggest that if a listener is still in school, that they study what they enjoy and what they're challenged by and work hard at doing well in school. And whether you're still in college or if you've graduated, it's important to abide by the law. And if you're interested in, you know, a 25-year adrenaline rush, feel free to check out our webpage at www.fbi.gov. And frankly, I think there's no job that you'll enjoy more or a feeling that's more rewarding than serving your country and protecting our national security.
Gary, that's fantastic advice. We've reached the end of our time, and that will have to be our last question. First, I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule today. Second, Richard and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the public and our country in the various roles you've held at the FBI and with law enforcement.
Thanks, Alan, Richard, for a chance to be here.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Gary Bald, Executive Assistant Director of the National Security Branch at the FBI. Be sure to visit us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's fascinating conversation. Once again, that's www.businessofgovernment.org. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional support and respect. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.